Dear old girl. Well, here's the real truth of the matter. Up until about 2 o'clock in the morning when I woke up, I really didn't know what to say today. I had some ideas. And so I laid in bed and I talked to God for a while. And the next thing I knew, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, so I figured I'd better go write something down. Okay. And here's where he led me. Unspeakable joy. And he leads me to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. And this is for the Israelites who have now repented. And they've returned to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink. And send some to those who have nothing prepared, which is me. And this day is sacred to our Lord. Don't grieve. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what is this joy of the Lord? It's an overwhelming gladness in your heart that can only come from knowing God by abiding in Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary sings a song of joy as she's carrying the Christ child in Luke 1 and 47. And she sings, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And there's John hearing Mary's voice in Luke 1 and 44 leap for joy in his mother's womb. And in Luke, the 2nd chapter, starting in the 8th verse, it's night and there's shepherds out in the field and they're watching over their flocks. And the angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they're petrified. And the angel says, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. And it's for all people. And it's for all nations, as Billy Graham puts it. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he's Christ the Lord. And in Jesus' ministry, they're going about accusing Jesus of being too joyful in Luke, the 7th chapter. They call him a glutton and a drunkard because he hangs out with tax collectors and sinners, and he breaks bread with them. You see, he's the bridegroom enjoying the wedding reception in Mark, the 2nd chapter. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit in Luke, the 10th chapter. He promised to give his disciples a lifetime supply of it in John, the 16th chapter. Jesus came to us so his joy may be in us and our joy may be complete. So where are you going to find it? Through faith. Peter writes, though we haven't seen him and we don't see him now, we believe in him. And we're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For we're receiving the goal of our faith and the salvation of our souls. For those who don't believe, they're incapable of finding this joy of the Lord. Their lives depend on positive circumstances for their peace and their security. But it's possible to actually share in the joy of God Almighty. Joy, peace, and security, no matter what hand you're dealt. There's nothing greater, more stable, and more lasting than this. So look to Christ, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who with joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand at the throne of God. And Luke, the 2nd chapter, we tonight, we need to become like the shepherds, saying to one another, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened. Come and find your Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Spread the word you were told and believe about this baby. Glorify and praise God for all that he's done. The word of God is true and it endures forever. Let's celebrate. Please pray with me. Christ has come to turn me, a stranger, into a child of God. How can this happen? We ask him. He wants to. He came to earth to. Say, Lord, I believe I'm more sinful than before I ever believed. Through you, I'm more loved than I dared to hope. Thank you for paying my debt, bearing my punishment, offering me forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I receive you as my Savior. The Bible says, whoever comes to you, you'll never turn away. Hear our prayers, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Now, there is such a thing as too much John and Jeff. So we broke it up with our sister Brenda. What do you got for us, Brenda? One or two? One? Excellent. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and message up to you. We put it into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever is not, let it go its own way. Amen. Psalms 104:33, apropos for today and this evening. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. If I can inhale, I am exhaling praise. Today in churches around the world, people join together to sing about the birth of Jesus Christ and the hope that he brought to a weary world. Within these thousands, if not millions, of voices lifted together in song about the Lord, there's a multitude who sing to the Lord. One is a declaration, the other is a conversation. One is just as valid as the other in worship. We sing because of what this day means to us, what it makes us think about, and what that consideration makes us feel. No matter what else we do or don't do on Christmas, just about all of us sing about it, or at least hum along with the melody. By my count, there are 270 references to songs or singing in the scripture. Most of these references speak of God's people singing to or about God, the emotional expression of truth. Singing helps us feel what we know. Singing empowers declaration, expresses emotion, and it emboldens choices. At its best, it is the truth the mind knows, permeated with the soul's deeply felt agreement. It is the brain and the heart joining together to express everything from exaltation to grief. Scripture tells us that there were a few events that were so spiritually powerful that even the angels and heavenly hosts broke into songs. They declared the glory of God in melodic verse. In Job 38, God speaks to Job and proclaims that at the creation, at the very beginning of all of this, the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In Revelations 5, speaking of the end of this, Scripture tells us that the host of heaven sang a new song, praising the Lamb that was slain. But in Luke, in between these two events, in between these two angelic songs, we have another account of the angels singing. The event that gives meaning to both the beginning and to the end. Luke 2:8-14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For a day in the city of David, there's born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased." We pleased him just by being there. Now, I acknowledge that this does not overtly proclaim that the angels were singing, but if they weren't, we just sang two hymns that didn't count. But the context indicates it. It could, or perhaps even should, be assumed in this case. Multiple commentaries call the angels' proclamations here a sublime hymn, a divine anthem. So it's not much of a stretch. The angels were so moved by this event, they joined together in song. This day matters so much that the messengers of God gave their message from God to men in song. On this day, through his angels, God sang to us. And that's what happened. You tell him, Caleb. Now, most of us know, brothers and sisters, we made this holiday we call Christmas up. It's not a feast or celebration ordained by God so that we would remember something God did for us or bring to mind who he is to us. This is the day when God was so moved by love for us that he sent his angels to sing to men in celebration of what was occurring in Bethlehem, what was occurring for you. God didn't have to ordain this day by law. It springs from our hearts, unbridled by ritual or ordinance. It's a spiritual flash mob where the brothers of Christ, the children of God, spontaneously break into celebration of appreciation of what was given and anticipation of what is yet to come. At Christmas, we feel compelled to sing to God while others sing about him, along with elves, presents, snow, and reindeer. Because those who are not in the family see our joy and they hear our verse, and they desire to join in. But they can only see the celebration, not feel the cause. And at times we worry needlessly that this world will ruin our spiritual investment with their misguided attempts to celebrate our Savior's birth without inviting him to the party. The world tries to celebrate the birth of hope without knowing eternal optimism. And that's hard. They celebrate what may be. We celebrate what is. Seeing in us a glimmer of the good news that this day brings to all. The choir, his people, should never be troubled by the audience singing along. The choir can only be confused if they start listening to what this world is singing. Instead of trying to hush the audience, we should simply sing louder and clearer, especially when life is at its most challenging. You in the choir who face a deep and abiding loss at this time, I say to you, sing louder, sing clear, sing to your God, so that those who face grief and sorrow without the expectation of relief can hear a song of honest and true hope sung by someone who knows. You who are in the choir, who face a tattered, unyielding, and broken relationship with someone who matters to them, no matter how it got that way, sing loud and sing clear, so that those who despair in a relationship that was meant to comfort will know what real peace is and where it comes from. You in the choir who face pain and physical suffering, who sing from a broken and battered stage, sing loud, sing clear. Let the joy of this day engulf the pain of this weary world. You who have the verses written in your heart, who proclaim, who face economic uncertainty, sing louder, sing clear. Proclaim to the world where true hope and stability comes from, so that they will know. You who are, who have been, held in the icy grips of a substance, those who have been taken by what they took, sing loud enough so that those who are held captive can find their way to break free of the chains that bind them. Sing so they can feel the hope you know. Don't fret over what the world is singing this night. It's a longing cry for peace and redemption. If we worry about their song, we have no peace to offer them. Sing all the louder as the theater crumbles around us, telling the world that the song that we sing is eternal. When we finish it here, we pick it up there. Sing knowing how this divine opera ends. Sing knowing that the humble baby we proclaim as Savior in our carols this night will return as a warrior and as a king. No one will then ask, "What child is this?" They will know who he is and what he is. But here's a preview. I read it every Christmas Eve. And as long as I'm a pastor, I'll read it. Revelations 19, 11 through 16. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flaming fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is self-defining. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, his own. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, that's us, by the way, are following him on white horses, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has written the name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Never allow yourself to forget that the child we sing about and to tonight is this mighty warrior who has chosen to be our Savior and our friend. And because of his grace and his grace alone, we will ride alongside him in triumph instead of stand in front of him in fear. As always, pray for those of us who can't be home for Christmas because they're protecting us from ourselves. Pray for those of us who have come home with less than they left with, who will pay the price every day in body or mind for serving and protecting us. Pray for those of us who have lost someone so precious to them that the joy of this day is consumed by sadness. Pray they find abiding joy in what is to come, the day when we are all finally and truly home for Christmas. The day when Jesus looks under his tree and finds what he has been waiting for. All of us together forever with him. Until the day of the divine duet, when God and his people sing to each other face to face. Sing about God so the world will know. And sing to God so the heavens will know exactly who that baby laying in that manger is to you. Amen.